using our gifts makes a difference. It really does. And thank you for that. So I walked up here and I had my my paper here for today's sermon, and I noticed a couple surprises. And I have some figures here that were, I think, not given to me, but loaned to me probably for today, because these are pretty cool. I wouldn't think they were giving those to me. Oh, nice. Score 1-4 Andy. Fantastic. For those who are with us, maybe who weren't with us last week and are dialing in for the first time, we are in a series called Being Incredible. And as you can tell, it's a playoff of what? The movie The Incredibles. And last week I had some trivia that I did. And so today we're going to kind of stay with it for just a moment. And I want to start by saying, in the movie The Incredibles, I know I've got one excited young guy in the back here today, who is the one that you show him lifting train cars and he's strength training, he's exercising, lifting all sorts of heavy weights that aren't, you know, no human being could do. Does anybody remember who that is in the movie? Nice. Wrong movie. Do you remember? Mr. Incredible, absolutely. Mr. Incredible is doing that. Who's the one that's listening to the police scanner to try to figure out where the next crisis is that it needs to go and fix? Mr. Incredible. That's right. We're seeing a theme with this, aren't we? A little bit. Who is the family that throughout the movie really grows to count on each other? They start working together at the end of the movie, and they grow to trust each other and rely on one another. They don't start that way. There's a lot of chaos in the beginning, but what family ends up that way in the movie? The Incredibles. All right. Who's the audience or the people that really grow to count on the superheroes, you know, to save them, because they just keep consistently showing up to fight for justice, right? Who's the audience, the people that grows to count on the superheroes? The incredible, the entire, like the public, the community, the city, all the people around them, right? They, absolutely, they just grow to count on them because they just consistently keep showing up. How incredible do you think the movie would be if the superheroes, and talking about the incredible Parr is the name of the family, but you imagine if they did not show up to work for justice, if they did not consistently choose to be there for their family members who needed help, or they weren't doing the work to be ready to give their best there, do you think the storyline would be an incredible storyline? Probably not. We would go, that just sounds like the typical day in the world in which I have to, like, live and work in, right? You know, I mean, just that kind of sense of averageness, if you will. So, that being said, today I want to share with you the, it sounds so weird, but the second C, there's three, right? So it's the second one. In what I would say being an incredible follower of Jesus sort of looks like. And last week, anybody remember what we started with? The C, commitment. Oh, that is on the tip of your tongue the whole time. It's commitment. So being committed to Jesus, I was sharing with us, I think being an incredible follower of Jesus, it has to start with being committed to Jesus. But when you are committed to Jesus, I also think there's something that comes out of that. There's a fruit of that, right? It's not as much a requirement. I think it's needed, but it just sort of comes out of you, and that is consistency, being consistent. Let me ask, now that the kids had their turn, let me ask the adults here. And so talk with me for a moment on this. I got a question for you. I just want to hear some of your perspectives. What do you think are some areas in life that if you are inconsistent, it's going to impact you or impact your family or others? Can you think of some areas in life? Brushing. I did not even think of that, and that's a pretty good one. Yes, and we got a cheer in the back. going to work. So brushing your teeth, going to work. Okay, good. Can you think of anything? Eating habits. If we're inconsistent, I would say eating healthy, healthier. Okay. What do you think? Paying bills. There you go. If you're not, if you're inconsistent in paying your bills, that doesn't tend to go well. Disciplining your children. Ooh, there we go. At least I wasn't the one that came out and said that one this morning. Anybody else you can think of? Exercise. There's you one. There's one. Good. Showing love for your family. Doing laundry. Thank you. Was there anything else? You get the point, right? You get the point. There we go. I know you got it. When I was in my mid-20s, which I know it doesn't look like it was that long ago, that I love it. Lincoln has to always be here at church on Sundays because he always makes me sound funnier than I am. So when I was in my mid-20s, I had finished up working with a small public accounting firm. This was down in Fairhope, Alabama, down the Gulf Coast. And I left there and I went to Mobile Gas Service Corporation, which was a natural gas utility company. It was in the town just across Mobile Bay. It's called Mobile. And when I made the switch to go from working in a public accounting firm into what we'd say is private industry, and one, we could use that word, those two words, right? I brought in the habits that I'd had from working in the small firm. Now, when you work in a CPA firm, at a tax firm, one of the things that you find is that it's work-oriented. Get the job done. You work whenever you need to work. Just get the job done, right? Because you got to get the work done. And so you could come in 7 if you want. Work till 8 o'clock at night. Doesn't matter. You can come in at 9. Work till 4. The point is you get the work done, right? And so I come out of that and I go work in the gas company, as we just referred to it. And so when I started, I showed up my first day. I was on time. And I thought that was important. And then I started, 10 minutes after, 20 after. And I was like, well, it doesn't matter, right? Because I'm going to get the work done. And I would roll in. And then I remember this particular day. You got to love it when your boss's office is literally next to your cubicle. And so he comes out of his office and he comes to me. He says, hey, Andy. I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, pop in my office for a moment. I was like, okay. So I don't know. And he's like, hey, I know you come from a different culture as far as work environment. Here, we need you here at 8 a.m. I was like, okay, sure. And he's like, there are people that are coming to see you sometimes 8 o'clock in the morning, and they need to work with you because you have information that they need to help do their job. And if you're not here to help them, you put them behind. So you need to be here because they're counting on you to be here when everybody else is going to be here. Can you do that? Yeah. Nobody likes to, be called out on not doing something, the way you should be doing it. And I was like, yeah, totally. I didn't know that. My bad. I got it. And so I started showing up on time, right? So anyways, didn't want you to think I had it all together because I don't, not even close. But one thing that I learned was that inconsistency, it impacts you. But it also impacts people around you. And oftentimes we are not aware of how our inconsistencies will impact other folks, whether we work with them, our family, and so on. And one of the things that I've found over the years is that even in our Christian faith, consistency matters. We have what we call Christian freedom, right? And that's wonderful. And in that is this freedom to live in a rhythm, in a relationship with God. We have the freedom to do that every single day of our lives, and it's such a blessing. Consistently living out our faith impacts the richness of that relationship with God and with other people around us, including the church. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a good opinion that you have there. Can you give us something a little deeper than just that? And so I was like, yeah, I'll try. And so I got, as I like to do, I was like, you know what? Let me try to see if we can root that in God and to think about that. And so I thought, you know, so what do I know about God? And I thought, well, something I know about God is that God has consistently intervened throughout history with a common purpose. So he has had this common purpose of working and engaging people to invite them and encourage them back into a relationship with God, who's their creator, their savior, sustainer, the great I am, the one who is unchanging, right? And so for those of you study buffs, we call him, we'd say it's immutable, right? That he's unchanging. And I thought, well, can you see that playing out? And I thought, okay, well, if you look at the story of the patriarchs in the Bible, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. You see God working through them consistently with this goal of bringing his people to him through covenant. And I thought, okay, well, the prophets, God calls them and saying, come back. You've gone wayward. Come back. Consistently intervening to say, come close to me. Draw near to me. I thought, okay. The judges, the kings, supposed to be leading God's people to be close to God, to live in a covenant relationship with God that would honor God and be for their good and help the world know that, hey, the people of God, they're not like the rest of the world. There's a consistency in the way they live, that it is a pattern. There's this rhythm that their life continues again and again and again to point people to who God is, the kind of heart that God has, the holiness of God, the life that God wants for his creation. He never deviates from that. It's always, always the same, right? We say it's unceasing. When you read the story, it keeps confirming again and again what the psalmist says in Psalm 136, 1. Can we read that out loud? If you can read that, read out loud with us. Let's go. His love endures forever. And in Lamentations 3, it talks to us about how God's compassion never fails. And so if you were to read that Bible story, you get to see all the way from Genesis, coming all the way through to Revelations. It's not even done yet. But you would see that God just keeps extending grace and mercy. His compassion is being just abundantly doled out again and again, over and over. It's just absolutely phenomenal. Some folks look at the Bible and they look at the New Testament and they go, well, that's where God is seen as merciful. Because you go in the Old Testament, they're going, well, he's just this dictating, lawful, vengeful, you know, just, ah. You go, no, there's every bit as much grace and mercy in the Old Testament as there is in the New Testament. And there has to be, because God is unchanging. He's the same yesterday as he is today and tomorrow. Well, then I thought, well, why don't we just talk about Jesus then? Because let's see if we can always go back to Jesus, right? And try to root this talk in Jesus. And but okay, if I look at Jesus, there's something I see. For those of you that really are sticklers for English, then just bear with me on this. He was living with a kingdom rhythm. So drop the G, right? So he was living with a kingdom rhythm. He was living daily with this kingdom rhythm. He had a rhythm to how he lived life. There was a consistency in the things that he said and the priorities he had, what he did, why he did it, the places that he went to, the people that he was hanging out with. The Bible tells us in the narrative of the Gospels that Jesus often got up early in the morning because he would go to Starbucks and he would go get Oh, no, he didn't do that. He got up early in the morning so that he could, can anybody recall, he would go early morning and pray, get away and pray with the Father before the rhythm of his day, kind of that hectic, right? Before he started pouring into others, he went very often and spent time alone with the Father. But then you keep reading and you see that Jesus went into villages, right? He went to different towns, and he would travel miles. They would go here and to here and down to here, and they would go all over the place. And when they would go, you find that Jesus teaches the same thing again and again and again. In fact, the very message he started preaching was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? Like, what a great message to be, oh, right. Turn away from your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Get right with God. Believe. And every place that he went and he was teaching and encouraging people to be right with God, he treated everybody with respect and value. Do you treat everybody with respect and value every single place that you go? When they cut you off in traffic, when they don't get your order right at the store, at the restaurant, when you put your grocery order in and yet for the second trip in a row they don't have what you need. Does anybody else get frustrated? No, okay. Like I do the grocery shopping. Leslie does the grocery shopping for us. I give her 100% credit for that. Wherever he was, he treated people equally. He respected every person in front of him. It could be a Pharisee, a priest, a Sadducee that was giving him a hard way to go. But he treated everyone the same. He loved every person right there in front of him. He engaged the people right there in front of him. How easy is it today to blow off people that we don't want to talk to and we don't want to see and we don't want to be around? It's so easy to pretend like we didn't see him. It's so easy to... Oh, it's them. Let me walk over here. Did they leave yet? You know, that kind of thing, right? Yeah. I get it. Totally get it. It's easy to have people in our lives that we look at and go, I think they need my help. I think I could help them. However, my gut says if I help them or I get engaged in this, it's going to suck the life right out of me. It's going to demand so much from me. It's going to be more than I want to pay, right? Kind of the cost is going to be so. Like, do I really want to really step in and give this much in this moment? I know they need my help, but oh my word, they drive me nuts. They never stop talking. They think they're funny, but they're really not, Andy. Jesus went and spent so much time with a category of people that were called the least of these. Perhaps you've heard of them, right? So folks that were put on the outside of society, if you will, we call them outcasts. They were marginalized folks, and they could be unclean. They could, sinners, right, as the kind of term was used, and they're kind of cast out and sort of separated off. And so often, Jesus would go and he would spend time with them. And the scripture tells us that he spent so much time with them that that people would actually think that he was one of them, which was an interesting thing for Jesus to do, because Jesus was seen as this God-fearing Jewish man that was doing something that a God-fearing Jewish man wouldn't do. Like, because if you go out there and you're with unclean people, that makes you unclean, and you come back and you're touching things and you're interacting with people, and then you're causing it's just a big mess. But just don't do it. He says, I don't care. I love the people. Don't be with the people. I've come for the people. I'm not segregating some off because I think they're better than others. No, everyone. But also because Jesus was seen as a rabbi, a great teacher. And when he taught, he had people that were going with him, and they were learning, and they were listening. And there's this old image of where a rabbi would go, the people that were learning from him would be so far right up with him. Like almost the imagery of getting right dust kicked off, kind of like they're standing stuff on you because you're just right there because they're talking as they're walking. You ever walk and talk about God with your family, your kids? And they're walking and they're talking. And so they're listening because they're trying to learn. They want to learn more about God. They want to learn about this covenant relationship they have with God. They want to learn about how to see the world as God wants them to see the world. And so they're right there with them. And boy, that what kind of rabbi would take his followers into these types of environments and do these types of things that the elitists looked at and said, you got to be off your rocker, man. You're teaching this people to be disobedient to God by the very things that you're doing with them. That's not right. You can't do that. Jesus was more intent on spending time and talking with sinners and outcasts than he was the public opinion of others who thought that there was a better way of living life. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus saw it more important to be consistently living with a kingdom rhythm. I just like the way that rolls off the tongue. Daily. And I thought, does that remind me of Jesus at the cross? And I thought, I think it does. Because Jesus comes to the cross. He comes to an unclean people in sin and goes to the cross and he offers up his life so that the unclean could be made clean. And everything that he did and he said when he was alive was pointing to that cross and was pointing to the empty tomb, that victory that would be made available to all who would believe. Right? Everything he said and did was this rhythm. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know why I'm here. I want you to know what I'm going to do for you. And I want you to know what I'm going to make possible for you. And then I want you to take that life and I want you to just go have that rhythm. I want you to go love the world in the kind of rhythm that I've loved you with. And I thought, I think that'll preach. In Luke 9:23, I found this verse and I thought, I think this probably as much as anything says it all. Here's what it says. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross. So you're talking about commitment. Now look what he says. Daily. There's a consistent rhythm of being a follower of Jesus. Follow me daily. I want to say today what I said last week, and that is that being an incredible follower of Jesus is not about the amount of works you do. Okay? It's not about the scope, like the size of it. So I got to do these like Billy Graham kind of things, you know. I was like, oh man, I got to do it. All these, you know, these amazing Christian people are doing. So many people are coming to Jesus, and it's like, oh my word, they're da-da-da-da-da-da. It's not about all that. Being incredible is not about the works you do. It's about being a daily follower of Jesus. That's what makes you an incredible follower of Jesus, just daily being willing to just deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to say, Lord, I am yours, and I will follow you today. You speak, I will listen. You lead, I will follow. You ask me to pause and rest. That one might be a little hard sometimes, huh? Lord, I will rest. If you need me to take a year and just see you glorified in my life, I'll take the year, Lord. Because I know you won't fail me. If you need me to slow down, Lord, I'll slow down. If you need me to push pause, Lord, I'll push pause. And Lord, if you need me to get up and to work in the work of the kingdom, Lord, I'll do that. An incredible follower of Jesus is one that's trusting and following Jesus daily. So I thought, okay, if that's what I think it sort of has this, what it sort of looks like, right? And again, I'm not trying to be legalistic about it, very programmatic about it. No, because it's a matter of the heart. And I thought, well, what have I learned about trying to be a follower of Jesus that I found that really adds a depth and just having a relationship with Jesus? And one of the things that I found that I think aligns with what I've said to you so far is having a pattern of talking to God and listening to God and learning from God in prayer and reading the scriptures. As Psalm chapter 1 says to us that the blessed person is the one that dwells on, contemplates on, gives thought to consistently the Word of God. Meditates on His law both day and night, it says. That consistency. Do I have to listen, talk, learn? Do I have to be doing all that? Pastor, are you saying that if I'm not doing that, then I'm not a good follower of Jesus? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Are you saying that I'm not saved if I don't do those things because then I really don't love Jesus? No. What I'm saying is a fruit-filled, deep, peaceful, joyful, content, fulfilling, satisfying relationship with God has a pattern of listening to God and talking to God and learning from God, letting Him be that great rabbi that where He goes, you're like, yeah, what's that? What'd you say? I didn't hear that. Can you say that one more time? Right? You're just right up with Him wherever He goes. What if in trying to do this, we considered framing our day with prayer in the scriptures? That when we wake up and we get up in the morning, we said, okay, so today I want God and His scripture to be the lens from which I look at my day. So God, I'm choosing to start this day by prayer and contemplating on Your word, that through that part of my relationship with You, that it'll help give me a lens in which to look forward into my day, the things that I'm going to experience in my day. And then as I get to the end of my day, I thought, well, what if we took that time to reflect back on our day and how God has been good, how God has been merciful, how the grace of God has been with us, how He has been faithful to supply what we've needed. We made it through the day, and some days that's enough in itself, it feels like. But we get to that day and Lord, You've loved me all day today, and I know that. And I can see that in my day today. Man, God, You've been good today. And thank You for being patient with me today. Because perhaps there was something in that day where You go, you know what, I don't think this was the best choice. Lord, thank You for Your mercy today. I don't deserve it, but thank You. For some, maybe even more than that. They just maybe say, you know what, man, breakfast, Breakfast, lunch, and supper, you know, or just three, you know, early and mid and late in the day. There's a sense of just having that daily office with God, you know, where we just set it aside and say, you know what, this is my time. I'm going to choose to do this this time of the day. Pray in the scriptures. For every person, it's probably going to be a little bit different. But the consistency of just listening and talking to God and learning from God for a rich relationship with God, my experience is there probably should be some of that there. But if I look at Jesus, he wasn't all just about getting away to pray, and he's also about spending time with people. And so I would ask us this: how are you consistently showing care and concern for people around you? How are you consistently showing care, promoting the well-being of the people that are around you? So you might think your family, in your home, you might think people you work with. You probably work with some amazing people and maybe some crazy people. They might think you're a little crazy. I don't know. But you think about the people that you're, right, that you're around. Church folks, the body of Christ. And you think, how are you consistently showing that you care for them? Maybe sometimes do you sit with people that just maybe need to talk? Do you maybe walk with people that need to take a walk with? Let them talk to you. Listen to them. Or you can maybe talk with them. Push pause in your day and spend some time with your kids just playing, or your grandkids. So our culture is so busy, right? Like, I get it. And we stack our days to get stuff done. But there needs to be the time of investing in your kids and your grandkids. There's a lot of merit in the old sayings that nobody ever dies wishing they could, what, work a little more. You get to that point in your life as you're getting older and you think, I need to spend more time with people, because that's more important. But apparently, Drew Walker showed me today that apparently, I don't know, there was a hearse pulling a U-Haul, and so it was like, there goes that. Apparently you can take it with you when you go. I didn't think you could, but I guess you can. No, actually, you cannot take it with you when you go. Invest in the people that are around you that you can influence. Have that rhythm with folks. You and God, you and the people around you, what's your rhythm? What is your rhythm? Does it kind of reflect what we learned from Jesus, what we've seen in God over the years? Is it a kingdom rhythm? Are you being maybe hindered by pride? I've been there, done this before, right? I get it. Maybe by fear, greed, selfishness, unforgiveness, weariness. Maybe hindering your rhythm, making your kind of influencing your rhythm to be more about you. Do you need God's grace to reset your rhythm like a pacemaker? Young folks can be like, why would that be relevant? You know what pacemakers do, right? A little bit of reset. A little bit of jolt for a reset. God can bring that reset. He's good like that. He can do it. His Spirit can do it. Because the one thing he wants for you is to know his love in the daily rhythm of your walk with him, your life with him. And he's faithful to show you that and to bless you with his love. But he also wants you to take that love and have a rhythm of sharing that with other people. If your schedule is so busy you don't have time for the people around you, your priorities are out of whack. There needs to be a balance, a rhythm that has a healthy balance. Time with God, time with people, time being responsible for things that you are responsible for. I get it. maybe it's as real just simply to say, maybe if the Lord says, hey, you're showing up late and people are counting on you, I need you to change your rhythm, then you just say, yes, Lord, my bad. Sorry. Help me change my rhythm. Do in me what I can't do for myself, but by your grace, make possible in me, please. Because no matter how hard I work at it, it's never going to be what you can have it be in me. I want to be like that every single day. And I know you're going to have to help me. And the people that I don't want to forgive, you're going to have to help me forgive. And when I'm tired, I know you're going to have to give me that, woo! So that I can have like a breath of fresh air in me and go. And when I don't want to listen, but would rather be understood, that you'll give me the patience and the discernment to stop, listen to understand the people around me, to understand what you're saying to me, versus saying, yeah, God, but you don't understand. Which is exactly what we do. We make excuses with God or with the people around us. When we listen, because all we want to do is get to the point where we can tell them the what for. That's the easy part, to listen to be understood, right? You're just, Well, let me tell you something. No, listen to understand. Okay, so if I hear you right, this is what you're saying? Listening to understand. Because I know that when that's the way love is. Don't be fooled to think that being an incredible follower of Jesus is all about what you do. It's not. It's about who you are. It's about the faith that influences what you do. Because you can do all the right things, and people think they're amazing, and you're not really love Jesus. Paul says you're just a loud sounding gong, like you're missing the boat, tiger. Would you stand with me? I'm going to leave it on that heavy note, if you will. I'll do that on purpose today. Knowing that whatever we find ourselves and whatever kind of moment or thought, how we're feeling about what we've heard today, that we know that God is forever faithful to go with us. No matter what you walk through, you're not alone. Don't try to earn the title being an incredible follower of Jesus. Don't. Just walk in the footsteps of Jesus daily. And let him say, well done, good and faithful servant.